Good morning. It's good to see everyone. I know we missed the last two Sundays because of the weather. And I thank God that it's calmed down, that we can get back over here. I don't like missing church. It kind of messes up your week. It does for me anyway. Well, I think I said the first week of Sunday that we're going to be going through the scriptures talking about Jesus' ministry, what he came to do, some of the things that he did. And you remember the first sermon was, I called it, Jesus had a mission statement, and it was from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. To open the eyes of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to open the cell doors, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And we talked about how he read that in his hometown synagogue, and they liked it at first, and then they got pretty mad about it and decided to kill him, but it wasn't his time to go, so they couldn't. Where we come in the book of Mark today, I like Mark's narrative, because he just dives right in. You know, he just starts with John the Baptist. Matthew and Luke give more detail about the birth of Jesus Christ. John, he just starts off with a deep, I think, theological statement. And he wrote his when he was older. They believe John died about 98 A.D. And there was a heresies in the church at that time, and one of them said that Jesus was an angel who came to save men, and John said, no, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God himself, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John's my favorite gospel, but I kind of like the way Mark dives into this, and it's believed that Peter dictated this to Mark before he died. Jesus has been teaching. Mark uses the adjective immediately a lot. Boy, it's just like things just happen, bam, bam, bam. And he focuses on Jesus' power. You know, just, man, I mean, he talks about Jesus went here and he cast out demons and he healed lepers and he went over here and he done that. And you know, everywhere he goes. He started his ministry in Capernaum. And that was on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee, had the largest synagogue in Judea, therefore it's a good place to start. The disciples thought, man, we got a good gig going here because people were coming to Jesus. And they went out one morning looking for him. They said, people are looking for you. They had people coming to the synagogue saying, where's Jesus? I came to hear him preach, and he said, well, we got to move on. I got other places to go. Jesus went where the sinners were. You know, he said in his mission statement, he came here for the sinners. He came to open the eyes of the blind. He came to release those who were oppressed, to open the prison doors and let the captives go, to bind up the brokenhearted. And sometimes Jesus would sit and teach in an area and they would come to him. But Mark shows where Jesus said, we got to go, guys. We got to move. There's other people that need to hear the good news. And in Mark's gospel, he has preached and taught about the parables. He's called his disciples. He went through temptation. He came back in the power of the Spirit. He started calling his disciples as he made his rounds. And today, he takes his class on a field trip. He takes them to the east side of the lake, to an area called the Decapolis. It was predominantly Gentile, and there were Jews there. The Greek culture had a big influence on this part of Judea, something the Pharisees did not like. They didn't like that the Old Testament had been translated into Greek, some of them. If it ain't Hebrew, it ain't the Bible. That was the attitude they had. I hear that a lot among believers today. Well, if it ain't King James, that ain't a good translation. I had one guy said, you're going to hell for reading that. Well, okay. You know, you must know something I don't. But the Pharisees hated the culture so much, they didn't even want their Bibles translated. But it was a good thing they were, because a lot of Gentiles were able to read it, because it was in Greek. And today, Jesus is going to take these guys on a field trip. I'm in Mark 5, verses 1 through 20. We put the word on the wall, so we're all in the same translation, and we're all on the same page. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened, and they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Father, I thank you that your word always accomplished what you sent it out to do, just like the rain and the snow. And Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit who is here with us. He is in us, the believers, who bears witness to your truth and teaches us great truths from your word. We can be encouraged by these. We can be warned. Father, we can be amazed. And I ask today, if any here are struggling with addiction or some habit that they've been struggling with, Lord, trying to get rid of, or maybe some darker thing that they don't want to talk to the church about. You know the hearts of every man and woman in here. I ask, Lord, that you bind any spirits of deception or disruption in the name of Jesus. And I ask your blessing on this message in his holy name. Amen. I'd like to talk to you this morning from a little different perspective of this message. If you will allow, I'd like to speak to you from the viewpoint of the demonic. Okay? That area that he lived in, there was a lot of occultic practices people came there looking for cures. I had read somewhere that there were some hot springs, which, you know, was good for arthritic joints and stuff, but there was a lot of black arts practice. Those pigs, some of them the Gentiles ate, some of them they sacrificed to their gods. And to a Jew, that was repulsive because God told them the pig was an animal they were not to eat. They were unclean. So Jewish sailors traded in that area, but they didn't hang around there. That's what I've read. And I want to clarify something this morning. A demon cannot arbitrarily pick someone out and say, I'm going to possess them. It doesn't work that way. This man, for whatever reason, and the Jews practice black arts also. This isn't just a Gentile thing. Matthew said there were two of them. And sometimes the writers focus on the main one, the meanest. And the scholars I read over this week said that one of the Gospels names this man is from Gadara, which would make him a Gentile. Gadara was 5 miles inland from the seashore. So some argue, what would he be doing there? Well, he's demon-possessed. You think he's going to live rational? We read here that he lived in the tombs, which was not uncommon in this day for the poor. You remember that a lot of times they buried their dead in caves, and some of the poorer people lived in those caves. How would you like to live in a tomb? They didn't have air fresheners in those days. You know, they didn't have fans to draw that smell out, that rotting, corrupting smell, and yet there were people who were so poor. That's where they lived. This guy lived there for a different reason. As I said, we don't know why. We don't know how. But a demon cannot just pick somebody and possess them. I've had Christians, younger Christians especially, say, you know, oh, I'm scared. I was messing with this Ouija board, and could a demon come into me? And I said, well, did you invite him? They said, no. I said, then no. But a demon will lie. Demons do not come, and well, what's a demon? Let's define that. Some believe demons are spirits who existed at another time period in the earth and God wiped them out. I think the scriptures teach there's some of the angels that fell with the devil. Peter says some of them are in chains in the basement of hell waiting for judgment, but some of them are out running around. They're disembodied, but they're not in the dungeon yet. And demonic spirits will lie to you. Bible says Satan can appear as an angel of light. He can appear good and beautiful. I've had Christians, for instance, they'll say, I saw the spirit of my grandpa the other day. At night, I was going home, and there was Grandpa standing by a mulberry tree. And he said, hi! I said, you know that wasn't Grandpa, don't you? Well, he looked like Grandpa. He sounded like Grandpa. So I tell them how Jesus in Luke 16 said, in the spirit world, if you don't believe in it, that's fine, but in the spirit world, there's a world of the spirit just as real as the world you and I are in. He said there's a barrier between the fire and paradise. And he said they can't cross between the two planes. My opinion is if they're there, whether in heaven or hell, God's not going to allow them to come back and talk to you. Yeah. He doesn't work that way. Does he use angels? Yes. Paul told the church, entertain angels for some, or strangers for some, as unawares, you know, entertained angels. Cool. There might be an angel walk up beside you on the day of judgment, and you'll look at him and say, hey, I gave that guy $20 one time. You know, because he was hungry. And that angel will say, yeah, he did. I asked him if he could help me out, and he handed me $20. Some Christians will go, can I get it back? You know. No, I don't think you will at the judgment seat. But this man, for one reason or another, evidently had got involved in some of these occultic practices. And as I said, demons don't come to you and say, I'm a demon and I'm going to rip your life up and I'm going to do my best to kill you and make you miserable as you can be. They come and say, I'm Uncle Joe, or, you know, I'm an angel coming to talk to you. And you have to invite them to come in. All right, I want to make this clear. How do I know that? Because I've been where this guy is. No, I wasn't breaking chains and stuff. But when I was 17 years old, I started trying to worship the spirits of the air, you know. And I'd go out and cut myself, pour out blood, and I'd pray to the spirits of the air. I was told these were Indian spirits, and I got Cherokee blood in me. So I was told, you know, you're worshiping the ones your grandfathers worship, and this is cool, you know. I'm worshiping like the Indians. And I began to have some manifestations that I didn't like. These spirits aren't nice. So subtly I kind of got drawn into this. Now, please bear with me. I'm not saying I was bad off as this guy, but I understand what happened to him. And for one reason or another, a spirit enters him, and at first he's okay with it. Then he starts noticing personality changes. Dreams. Terrible things. And then fear hits him. You see, he thought he was in control. He thought he was doing what he wanted to do. That's how sin is, church. Sin will take you a lot deeper than you want to go. Okay? That's why the Christian is warned not to dabble with it, not to play with it. If it's sin, you rebuke it, you renounce it, and you leave it be. I remember two young ladies in a teen group I was working with at a church. They came to me one night, and I was working in my office, and they said, we need to talk to you. We're just scared to death. And I said, well, what's scaring you? Well, we've been studying on witchcraft and the tarot cards and all this, and we've been going to some seances, and so we're starting to have really bad dreams, and we just live in constant fear, and it's scaring us to death. And I looked at one of the girls, and she smiled at me. And it was a bad smirk, a wicked smirk, if I can say. It was wicked. I saw the wickedness. And I looked at her, and I said, I thought you came to Christ. Well, I did. I said, then what are you doing messing around over there? Well, we just thought it was kind of cool. And she had that stupid grin on her face. And I said, let me give you a newsflash. You know why you're scared? Because you're fooling with the kingdom of darkness. And Satan will let you think that you're in control of what you're doing. And I said, I'll tell you why you did it. And this had to be the Holy Spirit. I said, you wanted that power now. And both them young ladies just kind of smirked at me, almost snarled. And they said, we're tired of your by-and-by doctrines, waiting till we get to heaven. We want it now. And I said, well, you're starting to get it, aren't you? I said, how are you liking it? Well, we like the idea of having this power to cast spells and things, but I don't understand why I'm scared. I said, because you're dealing with the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus said he's a thief and he came to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, one of them said something about I didn't have any right to judge them. Judge not that you be not judged, preacher. I said, "Pooey." And one of them said, "We are casting spells." And I said, "I'm going to tell you something. I don't fear you or your God. But," I said, "you have changed gods." And I said, "you're serving the God of this world. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he defeated you at the cross of Calvary." I said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And they looked at me just so shocked, and they got up and said, "Well, thank you, Pastor," and they walked out. I don't know where they're at today. Some people don't believe in demons in the church anymore. They don't believe in demons. That's, you know, a bunch of antiquated stories to scare our kids or scare us. They're very real. And this demonic got to a point that the sinners didn't want him hanging around. You know that's bad when you get to be such a bad sinner that other sinners don't want to hang with you. He began to scare them. I don't know what all he did. He ran around naked. I mean, that's a starter. Guy show up for a dinner party and you're dressed in your best and he's just naked as a jaybird. No shame. Maybe he starts talking garbled, you know. I don't know what he was doing. But when the demons took control, finally, of his whole personality, he became somebody that the townspeople were terrified of. And they do what people do. They cast him out. "We don't want to deal with this guy. Let's call him Crazy Carl. We don't want to deal with Crazy Carl. He's just too far out there. Man, the guy runs around naked." And he got busted Saturday night. And when the cops put the cuffs and shackles on him, he just tore them off. We tried to tie him up with chains, and the chains broke. So Crazy Carl, we drove him out of town, and he went and lived in the tombs. That's not living to me, being among the dead. I remember one night I was drinking Mad Dog wine and taking pain pills and some tranks. And I don't remember even getting in my car and leaving town, but when I came to, I was in the cemetery, sleeping on a grave. Sun was coming up. My car was sitting there running. And I sat up and looked around. I thought, "What in the world am I doing here?" That's where the demons like to hang around. At that time, I didn't think too much of it. I thought, "Well, I just got too loaded." You know, I did it all the time. I'd get loaded and drive home, not remember it. Now, am I blaming my drinking on demons? No. But I was inviting spirits to come live in me. And I started seeing some very real changes. I became destructive to myself. As I said, I used to take a knife and cut myself. I got about a 2-inch scar right across here where I got a little deep one time. Got carried away. But I was in the kingdom of darkness. I didn't really realize what I was doing. I'm not saying it wasn't my fault. I didn't understand what I was into. I'm still in control. I asked people when I worked on the ambulance, I'd see especially young people, teenagers, would cut themselves. We'd take them to the hospital. You know, that could be a suicide attempt, so you had to take them. And I'd say, "Why do you do that?" Just curious, why do you do that? One young man said, "Well, it relieves stress for me. When I let my blood, it relieves stress." I said, "Wow, I read about a dude in the Bible did that, and the Bible said it was a demon." "No, I don't believe it's any demon, you know." "Okay." And Carl just keeps getting worse and worse and worse until the spirits are in control. That's how sin works. You think you're so in control of your life. Maybe you're an alcoholic and you hide it from people. You know, "I can quit drinking anytime I want to." "Really? Then do it." "Well, I don't want to." Well, I understand that. I didn't want to. Jesus Christ changed my want to. Okay, if I can say that, that's probably not correct way to use English, but he changed my want to. Old Carl realized that he wasn't doing his thing anymore. It was doing him. And he was completely out of control. The Bible said he roamed the hills day and night screaming and cutting himself with stones. I think maybe in the back of his mind, Carl was hoping he was going to kill himself. You know, if I cut myself enough and deep enough, I'll bleed out and I'll be dead and I'll be set free from this. Now that's just my observation. He was not a happy guy, okay? His anger was expressed in everything he did. He just was angry, furious. And one day Jesus had been teaching and he told his men, let's get in this boat. Let's go to the other side of the lake. And a storm rose. They said the waves were swamping into the boat and it was beginning to sink and Jesus was asleep on a cushion in the stern. He was wore out. That guy had been teaching. He'd been preaching meetings. People coming from all over. He was healing people. He was casting out demons in Capernaum because they were amazed at his teaching and he was well liked there. And he said, let's go across the lake, and this big storm blew up. And it said they woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? And said, Jesus sat up and looked around. He rebuked the sea and the wind and it calmed down. And he said, why? Where's your faith? Wow. Real quick, I want to sidestep a minute. Church, I promise you, when Jesus Christ calls you to do something, storms are coming. Yeah, storms are going to come. But I serve the one that walks on water. The storms are under his feet, is what I'm saying. And he looks at his guy and says, I didn't say let's go drown. I said let's go to the other side of the lake. And his church said, we're all going to die. We don't have the money to do this. Our funds will dry up. We can't be doing street ministries and reaching out to people. They don't want to hear it anyway. And there's some crazy people out there. I know. There are some sinful people in this town. I have stepped out my back door on a Friday night and hear a man and his wife that are drunk arguing and the language would make a sailor blush. And I'm thinking, man, they need Jesus, but I know if I go try to talk to them in that frame of mind, I'll end up in a fight. And I'm sure when his disciples realized where they were, they're going, what are we doing here? Jesus, this place is full of pagans. And here comes one now. Crazy Carl. He seen Jesus and he took off at a dead run. And I imagine him and he was going, whoa, Carl, wait, don't go down there. He said he got to Jesus and he fell on his knees. And I was interested when I read what Dr. Adam Clark said, the Greek literally said. When he said, what do I have to do with you? He's saying, what are you doing in my turf? Jesus, what are you doing in my hood? Why in the world would you come down here? None of the other religious people do. The religious people won't come down here. They're afraid it'll ruin their testimony. Oh, if I'm seen around those kind of people, it might ruin my testimony. Jesus came to save those kind of people. That's what he was doing. He's saying, guys, didn't I tell you I came here to save the lost? Yeah, but everybody was coming to Capernaum. Well, we're not going to stay there because this guy lives here and he needs deliverance. Even though they couldn't physically chain this guy, those spirits in him were already chained. Yeah. What are you doing here, Jesus? Did you come here to torment us? Please, don't hurt us. That's what they said. Please don't hurt us. It's not our fault. The devil tricked us. I wonder what his men thought when they heard this conversation. Here's the kingdom of darkness on his knees before the kingdom of light. And there's this intercourse going on between them, verbal. And the demons are going, what are you doing here? This is our turf. We don't come over there and bother you. What are you doing over here? Well, this guy needs me. And they said, please don't hurt us. Please don't cast us out into the deep. One translation says the deep, that's the abyss. In Jewish mythology, the abyss is where spirits can be locked. In Revelation, John saw an angel with a key, and he unlocked the abyss. So it's a sealed area for the spirits, is what it is. And they said, please don't send us there. And I don't know why Jesus said this, but he said, okay. I said, can we go into the pigs? That's literally what, can we please go into those pigs, Jesus? I don't want to be here anymore. Old Carl was about to become holy. Amen. That just impresses me every time I read that. That guy run at Jesus, and I know he's running at him trying to scare him off. And when he got there, he went, boom, right to his feet. He said, oh, this guy ain't scared. You know. And Jesus said, go. That's impressive. One word, go. He didn't say, in the name of my Father, I cast you out. I mean, he didn't do any big ritual. He said, go. Name it. And the Jews saw their first deviled ham. As the pigs ran down into the sea and were drowned, you know. Somebody said, hey. And I love this. The town people came because the keepers of the swine went back into town. The nearest town said, this guy, he cast something out of old crazy Carl, man. And our pigs just freaked out and run down and they're drowned, so we've lost that part of our income, so they're not happy about that. He said they come out and they notice Crazy Carl's not naked anymore. He's not screaming, he's not crying. He's sitting dressed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. See, Carl had a Jesus-sized problem. Sin is a Jesus-sized problem, church. Unconfessed sin, Christian, is a Jesus-sized problem. And that's why you can't get rid of it. Brother, I make these resolutions that I won't do this again. And God help me, I do it again, and I don't know why it has such power over me. I thought Jesus defeated that on the cross. He did. You're the one that picked it back up. Christian, you can go play in the devil's area if you want. You can go into the kingdom of darkness if you choose to do so. Why was Carl seated there in his right mind? Because Jesus took him out of the kingdom of darkness and put him into the kingdom of light. Man. And if you're a Christian and you've got unconfessed sin in your life, it's hidden from all men's eyes. It's not hidden from God. Yeah. I had a preacher explain it like this. It's like a giant when David met Goliath, you know. And he said, as we're being molded into the image of Christ, we have sins. All of us have these sins that we don't want to let go of. We got pleasure in them. You know, they give us pleasure. But the Spirit of God's revealed to you that it's sin, and you need to get rid of it. And you go, no, not right now. And he said, you step around that giant, and you keep on going, and you get a little ways up the road, and there's that giant again. Like in vampire movies. You know, when they're standing there talking to the vampire and they run and all of a sudden the vampire's in front of them. Always thought, I wish I could move that fast. That'd be so cool. I'd go into professional boxing. You know, make that big money. But I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. He takes us from the kingdom of darkness and puts us in the kingdom of light. And every time you evade that giant and walk around it, guess what happens? You run right into him again. And your spiritual growth will stop until you take care of that problem. Ooh, that's why Jesus said, if you won't forgive, God won't forgive you. Paul said, if you let bitterness spring up in you, it'll defile you. And when the town people saw Carl, they weren't afraid of him anymore, but they were scared to death of Jesus. I'm sure they thought, this guy is a powerful sorcerer, and we don't want him here. And Jesus, very graciously, they said, would you please leave? And he's that way still. He doesn't force himself on anyone. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me and opens the door, then I will come into him and I will eat with him and he with me. And they come out and said, you know, this kind of freaks us out, Jesus, so would you please leave? And as he's getting into the boat, Carl comes up. He ain't crazy Carl anymore. He comes up, and can you blame him? He begged Jesus to let him go with him. I don't want to go back there anymore. Jesus said, Carl, you can do me a great favor. Go back and tell your friends what great mercy God has had on you. And you know, a little later in Mark, it said large crowds from the Decapolis followed Jesus. Why? Because Carl walked up and said, those demons are gone. A man named Jesus set me free. And he's asked me to tell you about it. And he didn't just go back to his town. The Bible says he went through the Decapolis, all 10 cities. He became a missionary. Now, church, I want to tell you something. We are all missionaries. If you have been saved by Jesus Christ, he does not want you to keep that to yourself. Yeah, but I don't know the Bible that well. Well, you need to read it a little more often and quit watching Days of Our Death and, you know, Country Music Channel and all that other stuff, because you're not going to grow close to God watching that. So you got to change your diet. Eat more angel food. Eat the Word. Become acquainted with Jesus Christ. Well, I can't quote Scripture. That guy couldn't. I bet he didn't know one Scripture. And Jesus didn't say, I want you to go do exegetical sermons on the book of Jeremiah. That's not what he said. He said, go tell them what the Lord did for you. That's your testimony. I had a guy tell me one time, boy, Rick, I don't have your testimony. I got saved when I was 13. He said, I never had sex till the night I was married. I never smoked cigarettes. I never did drugs or drank like you did. I never got into all that weird stuff. And boy, Jesus Christ pulled you out of it. And he said, what a testimony. I said, yours is greater than mine. Because you can testify to young people, Jesus Christ has the power to keep you pure if you'll listen. To keep you out of those decisions. I said, I was an idiot. Because I'd heard about Jesus, thought I knew him, but boy, I got over there in the domain of darkness and I liked to die over there a few times. And Jesus Christ in his mercy, when I fell at his feet one night as Carl did, and almost the same thing, I thought, what would Jesus have to do with somebody like me? That might have been some of them spirits were going, you don't want to do this. You know, Jesus doesn't love you. But, man. Next day I woke up and I knew I'm a different man. Still had a bucket full of problems. First year, 15 years of my Christianity, boy, I was up and down, in and out, you know, struggling. I wish somebody would have told me then, like a guy finally did after I was a Christian about 18 years. He said, sometimes you got to go back to the cross, brother. Yeah. That same power that saved you is the same power that will sanctify you, and it works the same way. You go to Him. Yeah, you go to Him. I had a lady one time in a church, she said, well, I've been going to this church about a year, and I just woke up one day and realized I was a child of God. And I said, I kind of got a problem with that. I didn't tell her that, because I knew she'd have hit me upside the head with her Bible or something. You know, it's almost like an entitlement mentality. Well, I go to church, I read the Word, I put money in the plate. I'm entitled. God said, no, you're unworthy. You can't be saved till you see your need. What I'm saying. You have to see your need for a Savior. Every individual in the church has to see that. I can't say it for you. You're not going to get into heaven on your husband or wife's coattails or whoever maybe helped lead you to coming to church. You're not going to get into heaven on that. It's a one-on-one situation. Jesus told the Jews, you diligently study the Scriptures, but you won't come to me. And I'm the one they testify about. Crazy Carl wasn't looking for God. But God the Father said, son, I need you to go to over here. There's a guy that needs my deliverance. And I'm going to deliver him for my glory. And then you send him out to share his testimony. It's a God thing. If you'll start trusting the Lord, Christian, and saying, all right, Lord, as you open the doors, as you give me opportunity, I'm going to share my testimony. And God said, I'll be right there backing you up. Praise God. Would you stand with me? Sin is a big deception. It makes us believe that we're in control, and then hopefully, if you live long enough, you'll realize that you're not. But God says, come to me. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Yeah, I do. Don't run from Him, Christian. Run to Him. And if you're here this morning and you've never saw your need for a Savior, come talk to me or one of the other elders here. I'll be glad to talk with you. I'm not going to beat you down and call you a degenerate or anything. Billy Sunday was preaching a revival in Arkansas, and the minister that was there shared that this man came to the altar blubbering and confessing his sins out loud, and Billy Sunday was standing there while he's praying, and he finally said, my God, if I'd live like that, I'd cry too. We're not going to do that to you. But you cannot be saved until you realize you need to be rescued. And only Jesus Christ can do that.
That's right.
If you need to come, would you come as we sing the song of invitation?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all.
walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I pray God will bless you this week. Let His countenance shine upon you. I'd like to remind you before we go that there is a prayer list on the back of the bulletins, and that's why they're put there, so you can take them home and pray over these. Doc. Praying for this family. Also, remember Brother Wayne, he's ill. Be praying for him. Donna mentioned they had 6 grandchildren that were pretty sick. Asked that we would be praying for them. Are there any other requests? Good. I hope they got it this time. It won't come back. Any others?
Remember my friend Vonda. She's going to be going in Tuesday, and she'll have her big toe amputated. So she's having a struggle with that right now.
Her name's Vonda Bungard, and if you'd pray for her and her husband. Got a test at Barnes? Okay. All right. I'm having a test Friday, an echocardiogram. A week or so back, I went to see my cardiologist, and I was heavier than I was, and I said, that's weird. And I had pedal edema, fluid in my legs and feet, so he put me on a water pill, and I went back a week later and lost 6 pounds. So he said, yeah, there's some fluid buildup, and so they want to do an echocardiogram and make sure it's not my heart doing it. So I said, that's all right, you know, I'd like to know myself. So keep me in your prayers. Miss Donna. All right. Yeah, Miss Donna was ill in the hospital for a while. Now she's at home. So be praying for her and Sheldon. Anyone else? I don't want to leave. Very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. Our country's divided, and well, our Senate and Congress are divided, but yeah. We're to pray for the leaders. So, yeah, we do need to lift up our leaders. Well, I'm going to ask Doc, do you have a closing prayer? Could you close for us, please?
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that we have this beautiful day today, and we just ask you, Jesus, to be with all those that were mentioned today, and we know how the sickness goes. And Father, we just thank you so much that Donna's out of the hospital, and I got out of the hospital, and we're just doing fine. And there's Jesus has always got the answer. And Father, we just pray for those here today, and the visitors here today, and we just thank them that they're worshiping God in some church. Thank you so much. And Lord, we just thank you for your help and for your giving. And we thank you so much for the blessings we give you each week. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.